Cincinnati was one of only two metro areas in Ohio that had more jobs in 2024 than it did in 2019. But do the region's new jobs pay well enough to support a family? You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss the labor market in Cincinnati and Ohio as a whole and the wages needed to support a family's basic needs are the director of the Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber Center for Research and Data, Brandon Rudd. Thanks for being here, Brandon.
Hi, Lucy. Happy to be here.
Great to have you. And Policy Matters Ohio work and wages researcher, Heather Smith. Welcome to the program, Heather.
Hi, Lucy. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. Brandon, what does the labor market look like overall in Cincinnati? Has the region been adding lots of new jobs?
Yeah, as the Policy Matters report mentioned, we are one of only two metro areas in Ohio that have been adding jobs. Which is very good, since much of the state is not does not have that going for them. It's us in Columbus, really, in Ohio. But when you look at our peers, we're kind of average among our peer regions that we've identified at the chamber, which is 19 other peer cities. We fall kind of in the middle. So we're seeing some good job growth, but we're not seeing the kind of job growth that you might see in places like Austin, Texas, or Nashville.
Okay. Heather, what does the labor market look like for Ohio as a whole?
So we had more jobs in 2024 than in 2023, but many of the major metro areas, like you said, besides Columbus and Cincinnati, saw job loss. So we're seeing more job growth in more of the rural, partially rural areas of the state and not as much in the metropolitan areas. But across, you know, all of the occupations, Cincinnati did see job growth, but wages were down when adjusted for inflation for six of the top 10 occupations that we analyzed.
And Heather, have Ohio cities regained the jobs that were lost during the COVID-19 pandemic? That was such a tough time.
So Cincinnati has gained jobs, about 9,000 compared to pre-COVID. The state as a whole recovered last year all of the jobs that we had in 2019. We lost 300,000-ish with the pandemic. But wages are up across most occupations when accounting for inflation, with the exception of about two of the top 10 occupations.
Brandon, we mentioned that Cincinnati and Columbus were the only two metro areas that had more jobs in 2024 than in 2019. Where has Cincinnati seen the most job growth?
Yeah, we've seen a lot of job growth. I'll talk a little bit about geographically and then also what industries and occupations.
That'd be great.
So geographically, a lot of our job growth has been near CVG Airport. That's a huge generator of jobs for us. But also Butler and Warren County have seen a lot of job growth. When it comes to actual industries, transportation and warehousing and healthcare are kind of our two biggest gainers for industries. And then when you look at occupations, general and operations managers, which is kind of a general title for a lot of different things like business managers or store managers or plant superintendents, that's seen a lot of growth. And that happens to be a really high paying job with wages of median annual earnings of about $100,000 a year. So that's positive.
Yeah. I was going to ask you where we're seeing the most growth in Cincinnati, what those jobs typically pay. That's obviously a good paying job. What are we seeing in other places, fields that are growing?
Yeah, that's the top one, and it's a high paying job. They're not all that high paying. We're seeing a lot of home health care aides as well, which is a lower paying job. But that's kind of is in line with the fact that we have an aging population in this country. Those health care jobs are becoming more and more important. But speaking of health care, registered nurses is also one of the top growing occupations, and those tend to be pretty good paying jobs with annual earnings of about $80,000 a year.
And are these where you're seeing job growth, Brandon? Do you have a sense for whether this is mostly full-time job growth or is this a lot of part-time job growth?
We're seeing a lot of full-time job growth in our top occupations at the very least from the data that we've seen. So those things like general operations managers, the stocker and order fillers at the warehouses by CVG, the home health care aides, the registered nurses, these are mostly full-time jobs.
Okay. We're talking about the labor market in Cincinnati and in Ohio as a whole and the wages needed to cover a family's basic needs. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Heather, your report, which is called Still Working for Too Little in Ohio 2025, found that 8 of the 10 most common occupations in Ohio pay their median worker less than what's required to afford the basic cost of living in Ohio for a family of three. Talk about how much a family of three needs to earn and where that figure comes from.
Absolutely. So the Economic Policy Institute, which is a national organization, has a family budget calculator that determines a modest yet adequate standard of living using inputs like housing, transportation, medical expenses, childcare, etc. And for a family of three in the Cincinnati metro area, they would need a household income of about $86,000 to live reasonably well. Nine out of the top 10 occupations that we looked at paid their median worker less than that. And when I say median worker or median wage, what I'm referring to is the wage that is exactly in the middle of the pack. So half of the pack is paid less, half of the pack is paid more.
And that median wage, is that for that household income, rather, is that assuming one person working is making that salary?
For this wage specifically, the 86,000 number, that's for total household income. But when I'm comparing it to the occupations across the state, I am assuming a single income household. However, for many of those top occupations, even double is going to be less than the 86,000.
Understood. Brandon, that number, that $86,000, sounds like a pretty good salary for a lot of people as a single salary. And it seems like there are a lot of businesses that maybe couldn't pay that, depending on the type of business, or don't pay their workers that much. What are businesses trying to balance when it comes to worker wages, you know, what their workers need and what they can pay and business profitability?
Yeah, you know, totally. That's an issue that every business has to think about. You have to control those wages while also being able to do what's right by your workers. And we talk to businesses a lot. We have a workforce innovation center that does work with businesses to help them figure out how to retain talent and to pay the wages that they need to pay in their industry to retain those talent. They also, I mean, it's just true that we're in an era of uncertainty right now, right? We don't know. The policy map is changing on a daily basis with things like tariffs that businesses are trying to figure out how to react to. So there's a lot to be thinking about right now. And I think maybe some folks are just a little hesitant to make quick changes in the business environment that we're in.
Hmm. And, you know, we talked about a couple different figures there. So there's a figure that's a little bit lower, $79,622 is an Ohio median wage, that's the Ohio number for what families need for a family of three to get by. And in Cincinnati, it's more like $86,000 a year, Heather said. You talked about the uncertainty with tariffs and trade policy and all that. Is it I guess, realistic to expect that a business can afford to pay that $86,000, depending on what kind of business it is?
Yeah, I think it's on a case-by-case basis. You really have to think about the industry and the prevailing wages in the industry and the competition. I'll just say that recently the Chamber released a report about the green workforce in our region with Co-op Cincy in the city of Cincinnati. And in that report, we identified that we need a lot more construction laborers, a lot more HVAC specialists, a lot more plumbers in our region to meet the goals of the Green Cincinnati Plan. And in that report, one of the great things that we found was of the 44,000 jobs that we projected to be created, the vast majority of them were jobs that paid a living wage. They were jobs that had low barrier to entry in terms of education and work experience. They're also jobs that tend to be overwhelmingly, currently, the workforce is white and male. So there's lots of opportunity to bring women into that workforce and to bring people of color into that workforce to be able to grow that workforce. And that's going to be necessary to meet those goals. So a lot there.
Yeah. Heather, I want to get your thoughts on that in terms of that $86,000 a year, that household income, that's that, you know, what that affordable income to have that modest but reasonable cost of living and standard of living. How many employers can afford to do that, I guess? You know, there are a lot of single income households out there. How tough is it for, you know, a one income household to make that kind of money?
Not many jobs, you know, will pay that high for, you know, a single income. The median income in the whole state is mid-60s, 60,000. What we see a lot more of is this, you know, paying an hourly rate below 15 an hour is, you know, pretty common in the most popular occupations across the state. And so if we're finding that folks, you know, aren't making enough, you know, working part time and being paid less than 15 an hour. And so, you know, we see folks taking on multiple jobs as well, because it's just not necessarily possible for folks to get enough money to meet the standard of living that they need.
Well, we've got a lot more to talk about. We will continue our conversation after a short break. And later in the program, we'll examine school seclusion rooms and restraint. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about the labor market in Cincinnati and Ohio as a whole, the wages needed to cover a family's basic needs, and whether there's more to consider than just salary. My guests are Policy Matters Ohio work and wages researcher Heather Smith and the director of the Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber Center for Research and Data, Brandon Rudd. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Heather, before we took a break, you kind of referred to part-time work. And, you know, for some workers, the problem isn't just how much they get paid per hour. It's how many hours of work they get each week. Some companies are hiring more part-time workers and using just-in-time scheduling. What does that mean for workers in this economy, Heather?
So just-in-time scheduling is this phenomenon of underscheduling workers to call them in at the last minute when business is heavy. And this might be good for businesses. It's not necessarily great for workers. When there's inconsistency in hours, folks are not able to budget as well. And it's nearly impossible to hold a second job when that's the case. In addition, when your hours vary so much, your public benefits are jeopardized. So if you work too little during a given period, you could lose your Medicaid benefits. And this method, this tool has been used and is a major concern for many union campaigns. It's actually a pretty common union busting mechanism. Starbucks Workers United cited that after organizing at a branch, many employees involved in union leadership saw their hours cut.
Brandon, do you have a sense for whether the practice of using more part-time workers is on the increase in Greater Cincinnati, or if there are certain types of businesses that are doing it more, and, you know, what the pros and cons are for businesses and employees?
We haven't analyzed any data on that. I would say, you know, obviously it is more flexible for employers, and it's sometimes tough on employees. When you dig into the recommendations of the Policy Matters report, one thing that we agree upon on our policy agenda is that childcare is an important part of that equation. And so at the Chamber, we've supported policies at the federal, state, and local level that help working parents with childcare. There are lots of other challenges like transportation and housing as well, and those are also on our policy agenda. So we try to support our businesses and help them succeed, but also help the workers succeed by trying to make things more flexible for them and helping them to meet their daily needs so they can be productive at work as well.
Yeah. Heather, you just mentioned public assistance in the form of Medicaid. Your report found that three of Cincinnati's top 10 occupations make a salary low enough to qualify for food assistance for a family of three. Can you walk us through those jobs and what they typically pay?
Yeah, so fast food and counter workers is the most prevalent occupation in Cincinnati and across the state as a whole. Cincinnati pays a little bit better for fast food and counter workers than the state. The state median wage is $13.51 an hour, while in Cincinnati, it's $13.84. As a reminder, that means that half of fast food and counter workers are paid less than $13.84. The other low-paying occupations that are in the top 10 include retail salespersons, whose annualized wage comes to around $30,000, and cashiers, which comes in around $28,000. And the threshold for food assistance for a family of three in the state is $33,000.
Okay. Brandon, Heather just mentioned fast food workers. A lot of those jobs are increasingly being automated. I think we've all gone into a restaurant. You're supposed to punch in your order yourself, kind of. When those kinds of jobs are being replaced by automation and AI, how challenging does that make it to get those wages raised for people in those fields when, you know, there's AI and kind of robots doing the work?
Yeah, it's a challenge, and it's a challenge that's been growing, right? We've seen AI just take off at kind of light speed over the past few years, and we really don't know what to predict in the next 5 to 10. But what we do know is that those jobs, we're always going to need people who are fast food workers. That's just a fact. But those jobs have been diminishing here. What we need to be able to do is get those folks upskilled and into positions that are fast growing. And as I mentioned before, there are some positions like in the Green Workforce Plan that we identified that are low barrier to entry. And a lot of these folks could qualify for those positions. And just one example, the city of Cincinnati has a building inspector program that they will train you for free, a year-long program. And if you pass the program, then you have a position as a building inspector. And those are really good paying jobs and have the potential for wage growth as well. So as we're looking around at some of these jobs that might be automated, we have to look how to upskill those people and get them into positions where they can get a better wage.
And that building inspector program, you don't have to have a college degree? I mean, there's not a lot of education needed before that?
Correct.
Okay. Interesting. Heather, Brandon made reference to some of your policy recommendations in your report. Can you walk us through the policy recommendations that you're saying could make a difference for working families?
Absolutely. Number one, childcare, as Brandon was saying. Childcare is really the workforce behind the workforce. Yet families can expect to pay around $10,000 annually for one child, at least. And early childhood educators are paid a median wage of just $13.57 an hour. So operating under the assumption of a single income household, many of the top occupations in Cincinnati would qualify for publicly funded childcare. And we need more investment in our publicly funded childcare program so more parents can qualify for that coverage and early childhood educators are paid a living wage. There's a bill currently in the Senate, Senate Bill 177, that would qualify early childhood educators for publicly funded childcare, regardless of their income level. And it would create an additional 6,000 to 18,000 slots across the state for parents to enroll their own children in childcare. Some of the other recommendations that we had include a minimum wage of at least $15 an hour that is phased in over time so small businesses can adjust. Strengthening union protections. Ohio workers who are members of unions made an average of $6,800 more annually than workers who are not represented by a union. One way that we can strengthen union protections is through a ballot initiative to repeal Senate Bill 1, which was passed earlier this year, which banned DEI in higher education institutions and imposed restrictions on faculty's right to strike. And then the last policy recommendation that I outlined in that report was on preventing rollbacks on child labor protections. There is currently a bill that just passed the Senate and is on its way to the Ohio House that would extend working hours for young teens to 9 p.m. on school nights, which would impact their well-being, their education, and it would open the door for employers to replace adult workers making a living wage with youth being paid a sub-minimum one. So these are just a few different policy recommendations that we can take that are going to bolster families' wages and earnings and their ability to have upward mobility in our economic system.
Lots to think about there. And Brandon, you said the Chamber's taken a position on childcare. Have you all taken positions on any of those other recommendations?
None of those other recommendations are in our policy agenda right now, which was adopted for 2025 by our Government Affairs Executive Committee. Childcare has been a big focus of ours, though, and the other parts of the policy agenda are really focused around housing and transportation barriers.
Okay. Well, I have been talking with the director of the Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber Center for Research and Data, Brandon Rudd, and Policy Matters Ohio Work and Wages researcher, Heather Smith. Thank you both so much for your time today and for this important conversation.
Thank you, Lucy.
You can find a link to Heather's research on our website, wvxu.org. Up next, we'll discuss school seclusion rooms and restraint and whether federal cuts could make it harder to investigate when parents raise alarms. This is Cincinnati Edition.